Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This is the word of the Lord. Invite you to stand up as we sing, and those of back here will process in this evening.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take our flesh upon himself and suffer death on the cross. Grant that we may share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let's rise up, y'all.
Jesus, Jesus, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet. Master who pours himself out for them. Jesus, Jesus, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve our neighbors we have from you.
As we enter Holy Week and recall what Jesus did for us, we focus on this parable about the sheep and the goats and the final judgment. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, how am I honoring Christ in my life as I serve others? The reading is from Matthew chapter 25, starting at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is Palm Sunday. Can you believe we're already here? It's just like the days go faster, the years go faster, but we're here. Easter is next week. We marched in waving palm branches, shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." There was excitement in the air, just as it was on that first Palm Sunday as Jesus rode into Jerusalem mounted on a donkey. The crowds back then were excited. They waved those palm branches. Some put their cloaks and coats at Jesus' feet as he came riding into Jerusalem. It's also the beginning of Holy Week. And you and I are well aware of the events that would unfold throughout this week, as we told the children a moment ago here. By the end of the week, Jesus would stand trial before Pilate, and the same crowd that was celebrating his entry into Jerusalem would turn on him and shout instead, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It's not a coincidence that the parable for today that our sermon series during Lent is focusing on is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And if you have one of those Bibles that has the headings above each section, this one is entitled "The Final Judgment." Because of that, many people would most likely rather avoid this particular passage than diving in and tackling it. Perhaps a better heading would be for this section, "The Separation of the Sheep and the Goats," because that's what's taking place as the nations are gathered before the throne. It's the pre-judgment. Anybody who's ever shown animals in a stock show knows about sifting, right? You spent countless weeks and months feeding your animal, caring for it, training it, only to get before the judge, even before you go in to show, and you go through that sifting process. And if you sifted, that's it. You're done. Well, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's sifting out the chaff from the wheat, the sheep from the goats. So here's the question for the day. Are you a sheep or a goat? Now, don't answer that one. Oh. Let's talk about it first, okay? Let's start with the goats. If I said that, what is to you, what is a G-O-A-T? What does that mean? What does that acronym stand for? Right? Greatest of all time. And we hear that term a lot, especially today in the sports world or in other events as well. Now, give you a little history of myself if you don't know this already. I'm a huge basketball fan. Now, I wasn't in high school. I was a football fan. I'm more of a basketball fan now. Of course, right now it's March Madness in the college ranks, and we've got a pool going in the office. Blame John. He started it with no, nothing on the line there. Just for fun. My team's already out. But I still have two of my top 10. It was three last night. Two now in the top four that I still pick that are in the race there. Well, I'm an even bigger NBA fan, right? And it goes all the way back to 1980 when I was a student at Texas Lutheran College in Seguin. Some friends said, "Hey, David, come on, let's go to San Antonio and go see a Spurs game." I thought, well, I've never been to one. It's a short drive to San Antonio downtown there, the old Hemisphere Arena. Anybody remember that? Yeah. 1980, Stan Albeck was the coach. George Iceman Gervin was playing for him. Johnny Moore, 00. Mark Oberding, big old tall guy. James Silas, among others. I was hooked, right? I loved it. This fast-paced game, back and forth down the court. Then, of course, there was the Admiral, the David Robinson era. And then along came Tony, Tim, and Manu, the big three and five championships. I got to tell you, Pastor Bobby and I, one of those years, I forget if it was 05 or 07, we had every closeout game in San Antonio except for the finals because you couldn't get tickets for that. That was awesome when they won that championship that year. We got to go to those closeout games. Wow, that was fun. The excitement, electricity in the air there. Now here we are again with Wemby, the alien, right? He's changing the whole face of basketball, and the Spurs are setting all kind of great records this year, and they just might be back in the championship. Why did I tell you all of that? Well, not just so you know a little bit more about me, but yeah. But I've always admired the Spurs. Why? Because they focus much more as a team and less on individual achievements. Yeah, there's been a couple exceptions over the years and their history. But if I were to ask you who the GOAT of the NBA is of all time, what would you say? You'd either say Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Of course, my favorite would still be going way back to Wilt Chamberlain. Yep, I was an infant when he scored 100 points in that game in 1962. Yep. But this is where that separation occurs between sheep and goats. Let's take LeBron James, for example. I just have to, right? He proclaims himself as the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He's named himself King James, right? And he refuses to retire. The guy's old, right? For basketball, he's old. But he refuses to retire because he wants to keep setting records. So there's no doubt that he's, of course, the greatest of all time. But I can't stand him. He is full of himself. Okay. Reminds me of another athlete who no doubt had some great talent, but also was full of himself. Who remembers Muhammad Ali? We're all dating ourselves here, but yeah, the great fighter. There's a story shared one time that he was boarding a plane, and when the stewardess told him to buckle his seatbelt so the plane could take off, he proclaimed, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The stewardess did not bat an eye. She shot right back and said, "Superman don't need no plane either." Buckle up. Sheep or goats, all right? I think we begin to get the picture here. Goats are proud, arrogant, egocentric, selfish, rude. We're talking people goats, right? Sheep, on the other hand, are not defined by an acronym. We are defined by the shepherd who calls us and who leads us. Now we're getting to the gospel. Earlier in Matthew 9:36, Jesus shared these words. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus, of course, is our good shepherd. And he came to call us to a different way of life, a life that's exemplified by love and sacrifice and service given to others. We hear these powerful words in John chapter 10, verse 3. The sheep hear his voice, Jesus' voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Here's the difference between sheep and goats. The sheep hear their master's voice and they follow. But the goats, they're too busy listening to their own voice, which drowns out the master's voice. It's that age-old struggle between good and evil and which voice we would rather listen to. And even sheep can be led astray if we're not focused and intent on listening to our master's voice. But God's provided a means for us to focus, and he's given us several tools in our tool bucket for the journey ahead. Prayer, for me, is a place to start, the best place, so that whenever we're facing a temptation or a struggle or a trial or even a doubt in our hearts and minds, we can bring it to the Lord in prayer and be in conversation with our Heavenly Father. That's where we start. We also have been given this great gift of God's Word that we can read and study to help sharpen our focus and understand more and learn more about God and what God has done for us. Worship's another tool where we gather together as a community of faith. We are here to encourage and support and pray for and care for one another and be reminded that we're not alone on this journey. We walk together. And what's spoken of today, which is an outward sign of following in our master's footsteps, is our service to our fellow man. The key verses there in our passage today, verses 37 to 40 in Matthew 25, where Jesus says, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them," and I love this, "'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" I want to pause here for a moment and just say that good works are a result of our salvation and not a cause of it. So we don't earn our salvation by racking up those brownie points for good deeds. Rather, our good deeds flow out of what Christ has already done for us. And it becomes a reflection of his love for us. Look back at that Palm Sunday reading that we began with in Matthew 21. How did Jesus enter Jerusalem? Matthew 21:5, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And he calls us to follow that same path in our lives. For me, it goes back to Matthew 5:16, that great verse where Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory." Where? Not here, not there, but there, to our Father in heaven. That's where the honor, the glory all belongs. Because it's not about us. It's about us shining that light of God in the darkness and despair of our broken world. Yeah, we're not perfect, but we are forgiven. And that's important. And we have a great duty and a responsibility to be those agents of change in people's lives, to make an impact with God's love. Again, we're sheep, we're not goats. We're called to follow the Good Shepherd, to continue to extend his love to all who we meet in our daily lives. Some of you remember reading a book by Rick Warren years ago. I think we did a study on it several years back, The Purpose-Driven Life. There's one chapter in there. It's entitled, How Real Servants Act. And he shared these words in that chapter. He said, the world defines greatness in terms of power, possessions, prestige, and position. If you can demand service from others, you've arrived. In our self-serving culture, with that me-first mentality, acting like a servant is not a popular concept. Jesus, however, measured greatness in terms of service, not status. This is so contrary, again, to the world's idea of greatness that we have a hard time putting our minds around it, our understanding it, much less practicing it. There's thousands of books out there written on leadership, right? But very few on servanthood. Everyone wants to lead. No one wants to be a servant. We would rather be generals than privates. Even Christians want to be servant leaders, not just plain servants. But to be like Jesus is to be a servant. That's what he called himself. We are to follow the example of Christ. You see, God shaped us for service, all of us, not for self-centeredness. Without a servant's heart, we'll be tempted to use that as an excuse to exempt ourselves from meeting another person's needs. And it doesn't take any special talents to help where we see a need. It's stepping up to the plate and meeting that need. If somebody falls in a ditch, God expects us to go help them out, not say, oh, I don't have the gift of mercy or service. It ought to be second nature, the way that we live our lives each and every day, and to see where we meet those needs. And again, it doesn't take special talent to stay after a meeting and take out the trash or help stack up the chairs or to, in a grocery store, reach on that high shelf to help somebody who can't reach that high to get what they need. Those are just a few examples of all the things that are there on our path each and every day of our lives. And so Jesus invites us to follow where he has led the way, that we would have the heart of a servant. With the thought in mind that as we serve others, we are also serving Jesus. As Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, if you give even a cup of cold water in my name to the one of the least of these, you will be rewarded. So in this week that we call holy, may we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us and find those places where you and I can make some sacrifices and give our time to help someone who is in need. Let us pray. Gracious God, you came to serve us by giving your life as a ransom for us, to die for our sins, to pay that price, to redeem us, and to restore us to our Heavenly Father. Lord, help us to carry out that same love and those acts of service to our fellow human beings, that they too might know your love and your grace and your forgiveness. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, whose love in humble service bore the weight of human need, who upon the cross forsaken worked your mercy's perfect deed, we your servants bring the worship, not a voice alone but heart, consecrating to your purpose every gift which you impart.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Precious Savior, in this week that we call holy, may we focus on Jesus who humbled himself and was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. May we not forget the price he paid for our sins so that we might be saved. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God Almighty, in this world where there is conflict and bloodshed, bring your peace that passes all understanding. Help us to combat the forces of evil and bring hope to all who are downtrodden. Send your hand of protection over all those who serve and put their lives on the line. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, bring healing and hope to all who are in need. Especially we pray for those hospitalized this past week, Curtis Stout and Lillian Hahn. For those on hospice, Alan Sperrins, Emma Hirschfeld, and Bill Petmecki. And Lord, we pray for the family of Kathleen Krenwogi as you comfort them in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Help me, Father, inspire and encourage us to do good works so that we may serve others as we honor and glorify you. May we make a positive impact upon our world as we share the good news of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. Lord, in your mercy. Now, good God, guide us as we pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you his peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing hymn.
Children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have you made you mine forever. Go, my children. Blessing, you are my own. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Here you learned how much I love you, what I can cure. Here you heard my dear son's story. Touched him, saw his glory. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Go, my children, fed and nourished, closer to me. Grow in love and love by serving, joyful and free. Hear my bones filled you, hear my tender comfort stilled you. Go, my children, fed and nourished, joyful and free. I, the Lord, will bless and keep you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will smile upon you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will be your Father, Savior, come.
you and give you peace.
Thank you for worshiping with us again. Just a couple of reminders here, of course, all the events coming up for Holy Week. So there's an insert back here if you need to take one with you or take one to a family member or a friend. It's also there in your bulletin. Reminders, there is a prayer minister that will be up front tonight. So if you need someone to pray with you or for you, they will be up there at the altar. So please make yourselves available if you have a particular need there. I want to remind you, so it's not in the bulletin, but Pastor Tobias is going to be starting a Bible study. If you're an early riser, he will start this in the mornings, Wednesday mornings, starting April 8th, 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. down the fellowship hall. Yeah, good stuff. Wake up and come to a Bible study with Pastor Tobias. It's going to be on the Psalms. And so he's got a sign-up sheet. So if you're interested, sign up back here before you leave or give the office a call. Well, that's all that I have in the way of announcements. The worship's now ended.